This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Thank you, Mr. DJ.
I was thinking about that. It says Mr. DJ.
Yeah.
Ms. DJ.
Sarah Love, have you seen the size of your hands?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
Whoa!
Don't
nah, just kidding.
Don't give people the wrong impression.
No, nah, you have very, very well-proportioned hands. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR. Doc Brown is away today again.
I know.
Pretty exciting, though. He's actually on like he's on a five-week walk through the Himalayas, which is incredible. He's raising money for charities, the charity being himself. Isn't that nice of him? What a good guy.
He's like, go fund my holiday.
Yeah, no, he isn't really. He's actually over in America at the moment.
I didn't nearly believe you there. I was like, wow, that's amazing. I want to do that.
Totally made it up. No, he's in America. He's taking part in a hot dog eating competition. We don't know this about Doc Brown.
he loves actually a hot dog in his mouth.
And he used to be a hot dog eating champion.
Really?
Yeah, he can actually swallow the entire thing without a bite, without even taking a bite.
Doc is going to love us when he gets back. He's got to pay somehow in his absence, isn't he?
Oh God, I hope he's all right though. Apparently he's been in training quite a while. Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
Doc is away today. Sarah and Hugh are going to be joining. How are you, Sarah?
I'm good. It feels like a whirlwind since last week. I can't even keep up with myself sometimes. So yeah, just juggling too many things. But no, I'm good. People seem like a bit down in the dumps in the like winter slog of everything in grey London, but I love this time of year.
But I mean, it seemed like today, like it's a blue sky. It's been blue skies more often than not. Like, is this? I mean, I've kind of was bracing. I mean, I've only been here, you know, I've only been here for like 4 or 5 months. So I've been bracing myself for like a real crazy, you know, like below zero temperatures and everything shuts down. But it hasn't been like that at all.
It hasn't really been that severe at all. Nah.
Just a little bit chilly, I guess. But but I'm happy. I'm happy in London. You said you're going to America tomorrow.
Yes, and to America tomorrow, and then I'll be getting, thank God I managed to work it out so I'm not arriving back on the same day as the show next week. So, I will hopefully be compos mentis for next show too. But yeah, I'll be going out to Florida
to support
tomorrow.
Doc. In
to
these...
support Doc, yeah, you know, it's all that camaraderie, just to like help get him through his hot dog eating competition.
What are you actually doing? Are you doing gigs in medical journalism?
Yes, I am actually. So yeah, there's going to be a couple hip hop shows and doing a hip hop radio show as well.
Amazing.
Out there.
Cheater.
When is that?
You are a producer. Nah, are you hearing this? She's cheating on us. What?
You're fired.
You're cheating on us. What are you doing?
No. As a guest.
Oh, sure.
I'm just a guest.
Is that all right? Hang on. I've got Nat in my ear. She said... Yep, Nat said that's fine.
She said I'm fired.
No,
yeah.
No, she said that's fine.
Okay.
Fine, totally fine. That's
See, that's a classic example of, you know, how you can get lost in communication and cause some major issues there, isn't it? Just, you know, a few letters wrong, completely wrong message got across there. But yes, no, I'll be going to the States tomorrow and then, uniting with the hip-hop community internationally, which is always quite interesting how there's, you know, all these people joined up around the world, and it's nice to connect.
Do you know what? Talking about that, right? Talking about people connecting and joining through hip hop. How about at the Oscars? The Oscars can also really, really make people in the hip hop community who aren't even in the hip hop community, but all of a sudden want to be in the hip hop community, completely separated from other people. I'm talking Common, Oprah, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see the category in its entirety when, because this was for best song, I think, whatever they call that category. It's like the best song in a film or whatever, but the Martin Luther King film Selma, the song is with John Legend and Common, and that actually won the Oscar. So, you know, there was lots of the hip-hop community online like, yay, hip-hop! hip-hop.
But what we want to talk about up next is Oprah, the queen of TV.
Yes.
Trying to get involved in this.
I'm not sure if she's the producer of the film Selma or something like that. But yeah, there was a lot of talk before the Oscars about how the film had kind of been snubbed. So I think people felt like, yay, when finally it was like it did get some acknowledgement through this best song.
We're going to find out about how Oprah got dissed. We'll do that right up next. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Kendrick Lamar, Money Trees featuring J-Rock, that one. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away today. He's taking part in the... he's actually trying to beat the world record for a skipping challenge. And not like skipping like at the gym. I mean like skip rope. Yeah. He's very talented. He's good. He's like up there with the best
Dutch.
In the world. Yeah, double Dutch. We wish him well.
Whilst eating hot dogs.
So the Oscars, hey? Now,
did you actually see the Oscars?
Well, I didn't actually watch it, but I have been trying to just... I wasn't in front of the TV to watch it, unfortunately, but I was just sort of keeping up to date on Twitter and a few other things and reading all the articles and da-da-da-da. Because I'm interested about it, but I just didn't get it. I was working last night. I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Yeah, got more important things to do. The time. No, because I don't think I've ever actually sat and watched the Oscars, and I only see like headlines and things like that, and you know, obviously you see in the news who's won what and everything. So that was the only kind of snippet of my Oscars experience, but I did find it quite funny the what happened between Common, who won an Oscar alongside John Legend for best song from the Selma film soundtrack, and with. They had a bit of a funny interaction with Oprah when they got announced as the winners. I think Oprah's like behind the film or she's in the film or something like that. You can see I'm really well informed, aren't I? As they were announced, like, yes, Common, John Legend, they're the winners. They got up and I think Oprah held her hand up like to do the high five, and Common sort of left her hanging.
Yeah.
So it was a bit cold-blooded, but I think there's some history behind it too, because Oprah's never been very warm or supportive to hip-hop people and culture and things. So I don't know whether it was like a strategic moment for Common where he was like, you're going to pay for this one day, woman, and that was the night to do it, or whether he was just so excited and wasn't thinking straight. But people are like, Oprah's going to take you down now, son.
So, well, you know, and it's also the, you know, if you want to, you think of a caliber of person to diss publicly.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't get my
head. Yeah, Oprah's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's that's like the Pope. Yeah. Oprah.
Oh, Popra. Hey, I like that. Now, you are a very genuinely nice person, so I couldn't imagine you dissing people too often, but there must have been some point in your life when you've had to. You've had no other choice.
Hey, man.
Cold-blooded and disowned. And I'm not talking about when you said when you didn't go on a date with Ali that works here at FUBAR and he asked you and you're on bright red again. I'm not talking about that kind of diss. I'm talking about... Yes.
I like how you're still even categorising it as a diss.
Yeah, you hate me, I know.
Well, a diss, I guess, is like... A diss has to be intentional, doesn't it, for it to be... A diss, technically. Yeah. Is that how it works?
I reckon, yeah.
So I'm trying to think if I've ever like intentionally dissed someone like in adult life. I don't know.
You and me were talking about this a couple of weeks ago when someone came up to me when I was DJing and they said, can you play some real hip hop? Play some real hip hop. And I was like, well, I've been playing hip hop for like an hour. What do you want? And they were like, play Iggy Azalea. And I put my hand on her mouth and said, stop talking.
You're like,
stop talking right now.
You better
sleep on. Cold as ice. Oh, Huey, you cold as ice. You cold as ice.
I guess, yeah, there are times like that, isn't it? Where you can't help but this, you know, because the truth hurts sometimes, you know. So, but it might not necessarily be that you're going out of your way to diss someone, but you inadvertently diss someone. But hey, Ali. It's just got to be.
Excuse me. Sorry, can we get some water in here? Ali. When have you, though? I would like this because, you know, when someone's mean, when they're a mean person, they would diss someone probably regularly, go out of their way to diss someone. But I want to know from you, someone who's nice.
When have you discredited me? Come on,
you're a hip hop DJ. There must be times when you're out there and you're cool, you doing your thing, Sarah. You're cool.
God,
someone comes up and says something, and probably someone like me probably comes up and says that, and you just look them up and down and go, what the fuck?
No, you know what? I normally try to take the route of kill them with kindness. So rather than just being like, you're whack.
Yeah.
Like, that was underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
That was thoroughly underwhelming. Thank you.
Come on, you must have dissed someone.
I'm sure I have, and I know that I have got some terrible stories in the
vault.
Yeah, the vault. There's a locked up vault to draw from. But other than the lady the other day at the gig,
yeah,
if you had blatant diss scenario, because it is a bit. I guess that's why DJs don't like requests as well, isn't it? Because it can feel like a diss.
Yeah.
If that someone's coming up to you saying, excuse me, I like what you're paying and everything, but
yeah,
I've got a better selection than you, so.
Yeah.
And I guess sometimes in the hip-hop game, you need to, like, give it some in it. Like, you got to, like, throw down a bit, like, hey, man, I'm way better than you, so you better fall back.
I saw a really mean diss the other day. Really mean. I was actually, I was at a bar, so I was in somewhere in East London in a bar, sitting outside, started just randomly chatting to someone, and then a guy came past with like a kind of beaten up, shitty looking guitar, and then he came up and then he sort of stood in front of us and then started chatting to the person that I was chatting, had been chatting to anyway, both complete strangers to me,
mm-hmm.
And then the guy goes, can I have some money? Could I have some change to fix my guitar? My guitar's a bit broken. And the guy sitting next to me goes, play me a song and I won't give you any money. And the guy's like, what? He's like, no, if you want some money, you got to work for it. If you're not going to work for it, get out of my face. What are you doing? I'm just chilling. Get out of my face. Unless you're going to entertain me, I'm not giving you shit. I was like, whoa. I was like, that's a pretty cold diss. Yeah. And that's really mean. I don't think I want to talk to you anymore, man. No. Is that
He's
bad?
He's having a bad day.
Isn't that really bad?
Maybe he hadn't had his dinner yet or something.
But someone, like, you know, someone who's obviously was, you know, was in struggle town, asking for some money, and you're like, yeah, block, dance for it. I want you to dance and play a song for it if you want it.
You know, hashtag like, London.
Ooh. Ooh, really?
Hashtag London. I mean, it's like, that's just sort of standard accepted behaviour on the London streets, isn't it?
All right, what about we do this? We'll go to a song, and during the song, I want to dig for a time when you diss someone.
Oh,
I really,
gosh.
Really want, because I want this coming from a nice person. It makes it all the juicier. And then hit us up at FUBAR Radio on the Twitter, and tell us, when have you dissed someone? Or maybe someone dissed you. Maybe someone dissed you as well. Or you can give us a call as well on 0330-223-0200.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Sarah loves you. You already started DJing. She's over in the corner. Sarah loves... Doc Brown's away. At the moment, but it also turns out, are you there right now, Doc? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm in.
Are you here? It's very quiet. I can't really hear you. It's very quiet. Hang on, we've got a few technical people in the studio right now. Doc, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I'm hearing you, Doc.
I can hear you very, very quietly.
Good stuff.
I'm seeing Doc on the FaceTime and he's looking super sunned up. You're just rubbing it in wearing sunglasses. What's up with that, man? That's cold-blooded.
Yeah.
That's like a cold-blooded underhand.
Can you hear Doc out there? I can't hear him at all through my headphones.
No, you're like super faint, Doc.
Can you guys hear Doc?
He's dissing you, man.
No.
Okay, I'm going to speak a little.
Oh, right. He's super close to the mic.
I can't hear nothing.
My little headphone.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, there's a bit of Doc.
That sounds
good. Buddy, where are you right now?
All right.
Where are you?
I'm in Cartagena. On the coast of Colombia, basically.
Serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful city.
I thought you were in America.
Yeah.
No, you just trumped
South America.
America.
I was in Miami briefly, and staying with an amigo of mine in Cali, which is a cool ass city. And just taking a little city break to Cartagena.
No, you're just cool chilling out
there. Very
nice.
Doc Brown, we're talking about cold-hearted disses, all right? Oprah got dissed by John Legend at the Oscars.
Okay. Did you see the Oscars
cold
the other day?
Cold-hearted disses.
Did you see any at the Oscars?
I sort of heard about... I was out of whack, you know, in the time difference category. So I was like, saw some bits and pieces on Twitter. I was basically just watching things about John Travolta being creepy.
Oh, I know. Amazing. Nice. Right? Yeah. So amazing.
See, I was catching up on that. But no, the common thing was quite funny, because I don't know if you remember back in the day, like, Oprah's never really shown much love for hip-hop or hip-hop people. And in fact, she's even said some pretty, like, scathing, like, comments, and it's kind of like, rah, that's how you're going to play us. Like, you know, so I think, and then I think there was some kind of interaction with her and Common back in the day. Common's obviously held on to this beef. So when it was announced that Common and John Legend won the award... Oh, are you with us? Are you back? You back in the game? Are you hearing me? It's technology.
My connection. Oh, I think I got you. I think I got you.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, so stay right there. Do not move.
Just got to the beef of the story then.
Yeah, yeah, the good part of the story. Yeah. But yeah, John Legend and Common won the award for best song at the Oscars. And I think this is for the Selma film, the Martin Luther King film, which I believe Oprah was involved in, whether she was the producer or not, I don't know. But yeah, so when they got announced as the winner, like, Oprah was like, yay, people! And then she kind of held up her hand to do a high five as they trotted past to the... podium, and then Common kind of did like the high five psych, where he was kind of like, yay, psych, and then just left her hanging there.
Oh my days.
I know. And then everyone's just like, oh, his guts are forgotten now, you know, after you don't play Oprah like that. So I was just like quite impressed with his blatant, like, international platform diss that he gave Oprah there. So yeah, that's why we were just
hip-hop deserves that.
he did it for hip hop. He's keeping it real.
Doc, when was the last time you dissed someone or someone dissed you?
Yesterday, man.
Oh,
there's like a beach out here. I just went down to watch the sunset, and just like Cartagena is so different from all the other cities in Colombia. It's way more touristy, you know. So there's just hustlers everywhere. So I was just sat on the beach. Trying to watch the sunset go down with a cold beer, and then immediately there were these like kind of skanky old like ladies that try and like massage your leg, you know, like they're trying to sell
naturally.
You like a full body massage, right?
Happy
so they
ending.
Start massaging my leg. I'm like, no, gracias, no. They just don't want to hear it. And it's like, it's basically like leg rape. It's horrible. It's just, so
leg violation.
I'm screaming at the, you know, like trying to get away from these women, but I can't speak a word of Spanish. So my friend who's here, who's fluent, he's like, you know, he's having a go at them. I'm just like feeding disses to him for him. The dress, like, manage and tell it to them. So it's a pretty strange three-way argument.
In the end, we had to pay them. You had to pay them to get away from you.
I had to pay them 10,000 pesos to get the hell out of us.
I had a really, but, really weird dish.
Mate, I just immediately had to... Go on.
No, you're all right, mate. Sorry.
You immediately had to make a run for it. But no, what were you going to say, Hugh? You've...
Yeah, that just reminded me. Reminded me of a really weird diss I got when I first got to London, and I was just cruising up in Brick Lane with a friend of mine, and a guy came out. You know, they stand outside the restaurants and like, come in. And I was like, no, we're not getting food. And he's like, come in. Like, no, and he was like, oh man, what's wrong with you? You're Malacca, and he called me a Malacca.
Wow,
which I thought was really, really weird. And as far as I know, a Malacca is like, you know, it's kind of a motherfucker. In Greek or something like that?
Malacca.
Really?
It's like an arsehole, I think.
Yeah.
But he probably thought you didn't know what you wouldn't know what it meant.
I was like, weird. And I was like, really? Just because I don't want to come in for a curry? You know what I mean? Of all the things to be called
like,
from...
I'm innocent. You know,
essentially. Yeah, except to be called from an Indian as well. So, you know, be called a Malacca. I was like, this is very, very, very strange. Yes, when I felt cut. I felt hurt. I felt embarrassed. I felt ashamed. You know, the dirt doesn't come off.
Doesn't come off.
Hey, Doc, you joining us? Stay right there, mate. We've got John at the moment from Sussex. He's giving us a call on 0330-223-0200. Hey, Doc, I'm waving at you on FaceTime. John, sorry, mate. You're saying there. When have you been dissed, or has someone someone dissed you?
Well, I've actually incidentally dissed someone by paying them someone else a compliment.
Oh, I like this.
Oh, yeah, those backhanded...
Do go on.
Well, I work in an office and there's two or three women in the office. And one day, one of them came in and she had a new haircut. And I paid her a compliment to say, oh, your hair is really nice. The other woman who also had a haircut, and I hadn't noticed that she had also, she's like, I've had my haircut. I was like, it's really nice. Your dress is actually really nice as well. And she's like, no, it's fucking too late now.
The damage is done. And I'll remember it. Yeah, those ones where you're just like, trying to quick backtrack. Like, let's fix this up.
How did you get out of it, John? How did that one pan out?
Well, she didn't talk to me for about 3 hours. But then we got lunch together and it was fine.
Cold as ice. Well, you know, this is the way things play out sometimes, isn't it? It can't be avoided.
Yeah.
You absolutely. Know, but you see, that's like the unintentional diss. Like,
yeah.
You know, different to Doc. Doc wanted to insult these people away from him. Like, so yeah. he was trying to diss.
So, yeah. It now comes to the point where I have to compliment kind of every single person in the office.
Just to be safe.
Something about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, you're, you know, good guys gone bad. Bad guys gone good again. Good on you, John. Thanks for the call, mate.
Cheers. Bye.
Doc Brown, so when are we getting you back? You're away next week as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll actually be back on the Tuesday, so not quite in time to get to the studio, which is a bit upsetting. But I'll be back the following Tuesday, and I'll be rapping about anything every week. You can guarantee that. We'll get it back on, man. I feel like we put our trio together and it's just been broken up. Like,
yes.
You know,
whose fault is that?
Feels tragic.
Hey?
Well,
whose fault is that? You dick? Oh, you just got dissed. Oh, burn. Burn's on. Burn. Oh, it's good to see you on FaceTime, mate. I miss your smell.
I'm too much in holiday mode to take it personal.
Okay. All right, mate. Well, you have fun and watch out for those leg rapists on the beach, all right? Yeah.
He's gone.
There you go. Doc Brown. Oh, Sarah Love. Oh, he's back! Yeah, I dissed you and quickly cut you off before you could respond.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was like the diss and then the classic hang up, bang.
You're a jerk and then run away real fast before you get... All right, buddy. Well, we miss you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
you know,
thanks,
it's,
guys. Thanks for the call.
No worries.
Feel homesick now.
Oh,
respect.
Mate.
Enjoy the rest of the show, and I'll see you soon.
Lots of love, buddy. Oh, Doc Brown. We do miss our Doc Brown. Yeah. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. We are minus Doc Brown this week.
And that track was Jean Grey, and it's produced by M Phasers.
It is.
Your fellow countryman.
Crazy Phasey. Hey, actually, talking about fellow countrymen, now this is, I'm sure, a little bit of confusion that a lot of people have when you go to another country. It's like different terminologies. Mm. Now, for us especially, I'd say probably between the States, mm-hmm. England, or UK more specifically, mm-hmm. And Australia mm-hmm. would be places where there are similar things that could quite potentially have a very, very different meaning.
Very, very different.
Like what you were just saying before about, say, thongs.
Yeah. In the UK, people would be like, oh, thongs.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, why are these men talking about wearing thongs?
Because thong is, in the States as well, is like women's underwear up your butt.
Yes.
Like the dental floss thing.
But yes. Yeah. Well, I guess the dental floss thing, that's more of a G-string.
Oh, right.
Yes, you see, this is the technicalities. But yes, the thong. But then when you go to Australia,
yeah.
All the men are just like, yeah, your thongs, get your thongs out, mate.
Your flip-flops.
Flip-flops.
So, yeah.
But do Aussies know what flip-flops are?
Nah.
So if you just went on the street in Australia and you started talking about flip-flops, they would have no clue.
Well, the only way that we would really know is because in New Zealand they call it flip-flops.
So, no. In New Zealand they call it jandals,
mate. Oh, jandals. Oh, you're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right.
I'm almost Kiwi, you know.
You are. You're a Kiwi bro. It's true. Big hands.
Sus.
Big
hands. I'm a Kiwi sus.
So, yeah, there are quite a few things like that are a little bit confusing. So I came across something the other day. Now, I wasn't cheating on FUBAR, but just from time to time, I do listen to other radio stations just so I get a vibe and see what's going on. You know what I mean? I like to just suss out the competition. Mm-hmm. I spy. Now, one radio station, which shall remain nameless, mm-hmm. they were doing a game, which straight away I was like, what? You can't do that. Surely you can't do that. And then I thought, hang on, maybe that would just be weird in Australia. Maybe here that's perfectly normal.
Okay.
So I just want to tell you the name of the game.
Yeah.
And you tell me what it means, and I want to know if it's the same thing as what it means in Australia.
Okay.
So there's a radio station here, and they're running a game. It's called the Bong Game. B-O-N-G. Now they're doing the Bong Game. Now when I saw the Bong Game, and I was like, yeah, okay. Are they getting people for in Australia, I don't know if it's the same here, but a bong is obviously a utensil you use to smoke pot out of. You know, a bong.
I know nothing about that.
Of course you do. Of course you do. You do. That's what we were just doing during the song, Sarah. We did bongs. Is that something different here, or are they literally getting people on air to see who can smoke the biggest bong?
Well, I hope it's not reflected badly on my character or anything. But yeah, as soon as you said that, the first thing I thought of was like hits from the bong.
Hits from the bong.
It's like Brazil style kind of thing. But bong, I have no idea what else that could mean. But
good.
Maybe this is just reflective of me,
right,
rather than the average British public. Like maybe there is another meaning. What were they? Do you have any idea what they were meaning when they were talking about bong?
No, because I was listening to it and they were talking about it coming up soon, the bong game, and then I didn't get a chance to keep listening. And I was like, this mystery is not going to get solved anytime soon. Look, just quick, if anybody does know what on earth, is there another meaning for bong? Can you just tweet to me so I at least know? Just tweet us at FUBAR Radio. Because I really don't know. It could mean, because there's a few things that's happened a couple times here. I'm sorry to be so sort of drug related, but this is just the way this works.
Yeah.
Pretty big one.
Mm-hmm.
The Shard.
Shard, okay.
The Shard. Well, so the big building,
yeah,
the Shard.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, the Shard. We love the Shard. We hate the Shard. The Shard.
Uh-huh,
the
uh-huh.
Shard. The Shard. The Shard. The
I
Shard
can't remember is, that meaning anything else.
In Australia, that's what ice is called. The drug ice.
Deep.
Is called Shard.
People call it Shard.
So when you come over here, that's like going, oh, we got this beautiful building in the city. We call it the massive syringe.
Yeah.
What? Like, what?
That's not appropriate for like conversation.
That's weird.
Wow. I never knew that Aussies, because I've spent quite a bit of time in Australia, but yeah, I'm obviously not mixing in the right circles to be familiarised with that Aussie terminology.
Well, either that or you're too busy over there playing the bong game.
Yeah.
Sarah Love, you're on the FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. You wanna know, they say, ooh. Mark Ronson featuring Nate Dogg, Ghostface Killah, Tarnt. Ooh, where you're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away, unfortunately, a little bit sad. But he's actually, you may have heard of this before. Have you ever heard of the human fly? Doc Brown goes all around the world climbing buildings completely freehand. It's incredible. He's somewhere in Portugal right now. We don't traditionally have a lot of tall buildings. I think he's training.
Yeah, he's training.
He's definitely
preparing for the next stunt.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, bless him. Yep. And meeting lovely old ladies on the beach at the same time.
Yeah, getting those cheeky rub downs.
Yeah.
How about that?
But yes, you're tuned into FUBAR with myself and Hugh as Doc is in training at the moment. And we love hearing from you guys as well, FUBAR Radio. Did any of you catch the Oscars? Obviously that was massive talk this week, and I only saw little bits and bobs of it, but what I saw most people talking about with the Oscars were the speeches. Speeches that stood out, again, earlier we were talking about Common and John Legend winning for best song for the Selma movie, which is about Martin Luther King, because they made like a really deep speech about racial inequality in America and prison system and all this stuff, and you could see all these really uncomfortable stars sitting in their seats like, oh, we don't want to think about that right now. And then the Best Supporting Actress Award went to Patricia Arquette, and she used the opportunity to speak about equal pay for women in Hollywood, because I think same as like most industries, women get paid a lot less than like male equivalent stars in the Hollywood circles and everything. So she kind of went on her pulpit and was preaching about we need change and equality and all of this stuff. But again, I think you could see like there were the people in the crowd like Meryl Streep who were kind of whooping and cheering in a support for her message, and then others who were just sort of like, okay, dead it, we don't want to hear that stuff, we just want to keep it nice and light right now. So I'm wondering whether, like, could you think the Oscars are such a massive platform, isn't it? Like, that goes all over the world, it gets televised everywhere, it creates so many headlines. Should people be using the Oscars, that opportunity, to preach their political agenda or whatever, or should it just purely be nice and light and thanking your boss for paying you loads? I'm wondering, like, what the right thing to do is. Like, what do you reckon, like,
what
the etiquette
you do?
Should be? Well, I mean, it's kind of, you've got, I think it's, you've got to handle it like well, hasn't it? So you've got to kind of, yeah, be a good politician and use that opportunity to bring light to really what you're about. But you don't want to be ramming it down people's throat, because then they're just going to...
They cut you off.
Yeah.
They go to a commercial and they cut you off.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a good diss that happens at the Oscars when they start the music. It's like, you're cute to wrap it up.
I mean, it would. You see a lot of people, they run through a lot of thank yous and da-da-da-da-da, and then it might go back to, you know, I was inspired to follow this path because of da-da-da-da-da, and it can be quite a long road. But I guess it is a big platform, and you're potentially in front of like a billion people to point towards something that is really important, serious, little bit more important. And it might be... it might be a little bit confronting for some people, but I guess at the end of the day, the Oscars could be a pretty superficial thing.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of people, where it's just like glitz and glamour and it's all about me, it's all about this. And it's like, well, there's a big wide world out there, mate.
I know. It's a big wide world. But so maybe we should be opening people's eyes to these things. Because I think for like the average person, they have no idea that it is such an unequal pay and stuff for female and male actors in the business. So it is important that these things are highlighted. Mm. And I'm sure if you are Meryl Streep or Patricia Arquette, you are kind of pissed if your check's missing a few zeros off the end compared to Brad Pitt's or whatever. So yeah, I think these things do need to be highlighted. Then of course these issues like feed into other topics too, like Reese Witherspoon. I think she's like an Oscar winner. Did she win for Walk the Line? Or
I don't know, but exactly.
She's big in the game.
She's great. I like her. She's good. I reckon. Well, maybe that's right then. Sorry, you keep going.
No.
I got excited.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon's name and you're lit
God,
up.
Yeah. Wow, my pants are. No, that's weird, just joking. But maybe it's about giving the right people the opportunity. Like if it's someone, say there's an acceptance speech she's going on for whatever, whether it's Oscars or some other big thing. Maybe, you know, like you don't want, Kim Kardashian getting up there and saying something about, you know.
About her new mascara range.
Yeah, or her getting up there and, like, you know, going on about, you know, something, some big inequality in the world when she, like, maybe doesn't know too much about it.
Oh.
I'm being mean. That's a cold-hearted diss. But then if it's somebody that is actually, you know, Angelina Jolie or someone that is very, very active in, you know, in trying to help a lot of people out there in the world, then maybe do give her an opportunity to get up there and go, look, this is great. I appreciate this, but I don't know.
Also, it does need policing.
Maybe it needs policing.
I think at the Oscars, it is basically policed by the orchestra, isn't it? Where they're just like, okay, if we don't like what we're saying, we're just going to start that music, the wrap it up music. But I guess I do hear what you're saying. But because, Reese Witherspoon at the moment, she's leading this campaign, isn't she, called, I think it's Ask Her More. But yeah, they're saying at awards ceremonies and stuff how it's a joke the kind of questions women get asked compared to men. And when you ask men these questions, they're just like, what?
Well, I mean, like, traditionally, the only question that women really get asked is, what are you wearing? What dress are you wearing?
And
that
how is... long did it take you to get ready?
Yeah, but that is so shit. I mean, like, she's wearing shoes. Ask about the shoes. She's got a handbag.
Yeah.
Ask about the handbag as
hair
well.
Clips.
Why just the dress?
Yeah.
I think it's terrible. I don't think it's cool at all.
I know.
No, it's really bad.
It's just disinhibited.
We just got an email from Don in Streatham. And I say Streatham. Am I saying that right?
Streatham. No. You see,
Streatham. Streatham. I'm really bad at this.
Streatham.
Sorry.
Streatham.
Okay.
So you see, it's separated by a common language.
Did
here.
I say Don right? Is that how you say it in English? D-O-N? Is that Don? Anyway, he says he thought Neil Patrick Harris did well. Was glad that all the American actors didn't cry and thank God when they won as they normally do. He also says he likes Benedict Cumberbatch swigging out of a hip flask, telling the camera to do away, get away, get away when he lost.
Oh, was that all?
Because
I just saw like
too.
A gif of that. I didn't know that what that was, whether that was the real thing from the awards, but that did actually happen, I guess.
Well, I mean, he was never going to win Best Actor, wasn't he? Like, because Eddie, how do you say Ray, Redman? Rayman?
Oh, Redman, as in Red and Method Man.
Redman! you know, he was going to, for The Theory of Everything, he was going to win for sure. Because it was just such
an...
Have you seen it?
Yes. No, I really want to see
mind,
that.
It's mind-blowing, yeah. And also, I mean, the Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch is fantastic as well. tough one, but I think he was never going to win. So he took it in his stride. When he didn't win, the camera panned to him, and he was like, sitting out of his
flat. He looked pissed.
Go away, go away.
He looked pissed in both the American meaning of the word pissed and the English meaning of the word pissed. He looked pissed as in vexed, and pissed as in, that there was something special in that hip flask. But no, I do really want to check that movie. I guess that is the tough thing, putting a brave face on it at the awards when you've got all these cameras in your face.
You know it hurt him,
didn't it?
Yeah, and you have to go. You know, you really, really have to go. You know, it is a tough one. I mean, you would have been to award ceremonies and stuff before. Last year, I was nominated in Australia for Best Newcomer on Air at the UK Australian Commercial Radio Awards. So yay! I went there and I kind of knew that I wasn't going to win. Like, I was just such, it was a real shot in the dark that I even, got nominated for it. So I was like, I know I'm not going to win. Mm-hmm. But my whole family were like, no, we're all going to come. And it was like, they all came from like interstate and stuff like that. And
I was like,
this is going to be so anticlimactic because I know I'm not going to win. But you have to go anyway because otherwise you just look like a prick.
Like, you're too nice to show up.
So yeah, I went. And then of course, your name flashes across the screen for about all of about 4 seconds, 3 or 4 seconds.
And your family are wiping a single tear.
Yeah, and then I was in. Now, of course, I didn't win. And then that's it. You know what I mean? It's like you're there for, and those award ceremonies things go for hours and hours and hours, and you're sitting there and you're like, cool, what are we doing now?
Yeah.
So I did exactly the same thing as Bennett Cumberbatch. I just got pissed. Told everyone, go away.
But I like how he actually had the hip flask. Like, he was prepared. Like, I don't want to be more than hands reach away from a strong drink to get me through this.
Smart.
But yeah, I mean, I wonder what is the correct, like, are there rules to how you got to take, like, losing well, isn't it? Or, is that bad taste for him to be like, get out of my face?
Yeah.
Aww.
Hey, I just got another email from Sam in Chester. Did I say Chester right?
Yes.
Woo-hoo! Living on the edge. And Sam says, whilst I appreciate the extremely wealthy actress Patricia Arquette standing up for me with equal pay now, equal pay, I'd probably take a bit more notice and people might respond to her better if she wasn't a millionaire.
Well, this was what was that. So people were like, very good in her speech saying all this. But then apparently after the Oscars, I don't know what TV outlet she was talking to, but she was like, yes, it's all about equality. So all the gays out there, all the African-Americans, all the women, you need to stand behind us. We've all done our bit for you. Now you need to support us. And people were like, hold on a second. We don't want to be, have this message like rammed at us from some millionaire white woman like trying to tell us that she's done us all these favours, now we need to come through for her kind of thing. So I'm feeling it. Who dude in Chester?
That was Sam and Chester.
Sam and Chester. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. And I also, because of that as well, I've just realised exactly what I would fight for in my acceptance speech. I would be up there because I'm actually quite a minority as well. I'm a Welsh Australian. There are not many Welsh Australians.
You can probably count on two hands.
Yeah. I get ridiculed by English. I get ridiculed by Australians. I go to Wales. Wales don't accept me either. I'm living in Rayman Land. Kiwis. Kiwis probably the only thing I'm closest to. Kiwis are the only people that would really accept me. So I'd be up there fighting.
Yes.
Fighting for the Welsh Australians.
Angled around Welsh Australian heritage.
Sometimes all we all really need is just a little bit of change. Just change with Daniel Merriweather. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, you're on FUBAR. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away at the moment. It's a little bit sad, but he's doing a three-legged race competition with his daughter. It's going to be really, really good. Apparently, Doc,
three-legged races. He loves three-legged races.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, we're going to be talking bribes in the next 20 minutes. A little bit excited about this. We're going to want you to get involved in this as well, whether you've ever accepted a bribe. Maybe you've had to bribe someone. You can always hit us up at tweet us at FUBAR Radio.
And you can email us to tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. We love hearing from you guys. Oh, and also feel free to call us. I love hearing your voices.
Yeah,
0330-223-0200. But Hugh, you've had a kind of trauma. It sounds kind of traumatic, actually, your week.
It has. It's been really, really tough. I'm now day four. day four into having a an internet free house, not by choice. The internet's been down. I'm now into day four. Shit is turning into like Lord of the Flies, my friend.
People don't
know what to do.
Really?
Everyone's running around going, well, and the thing is, like, even my phone, if I tether onto my computer, like, my, just choose my data up really, really fast. So it's like, damn, you know, people like, a lot of people in the house, they live off Netflix. Well, you want to watch Netflix? You can't do that. It's gone. You've got no internet.
Wow. So you found it tough.
Yeah, because I try not to use my, I try to use Wi-Fi on my phone as much as possible anyway, just to try to save on the data.
Okay.
So not having internet in the house has been like I've been using my phone very minimally, very minimally. If I just need to quickly, you know, email someone or do something like that. But you realize how much of a luxury it is having internet all the time. You're like, oh, I just want to sit on Facebook for an hour.
And also,
can't do that.
Yeah. But also how dependent we are on, like, being online nowadays. Because I remember when. Like, before we all had mobile.
I love these.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
The good old days. The olden times. Olden times.
Yeah. Oh, that's
but it's so funny how kids just can't relate to
it. I said stop. it's gone crazy.
It doesn't stop. But no, like, remember before we all had mobile phones? Like, people like, oh, my God, how did we do anything?
Yeah.
How did we make any arrangements? But we made a plan and we stuck to it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and that
absolutely.
Worked fine for, like, a long time.
Well, these were some of the things I've been thinking now because there's the internet. Well, basically what happened is we got a massive bill and the internet company were like, well, we can't tell you. We can't tell you why I got a massive bill. And it's like, but when nothing different is happening. It just jumped, like, 200% 2 months in a row. We don't know why, and you won't tell us. And they're like, cool, we're going to have to shut it down while we figure out what it is. So it's been, we don't know how long. Could be longer, we don't know. And everyone's starting at the resort. You're doing different things.
Cold turkey.
Got to go cold turkeys. What do I do? Maybe
like
write a letter.
The neck.
Maybe writing a letter.
I received a letter in the post recently, and it was incredible. A handwritten letter. I was literally like, oh, my God. I need to sit down with a cup of tea, get comfortable, and really put my attention to reading this letter. It's a special moment, way much more deep than just another email. But you see, like, I would welcome something like that. Like, for me, when I get getting on an aeroplane, it's really nice to just, like, switch off. The phone's not going to ring.
Yeah.
You can't go online. Like, you have no excuses but to switch off. Like, in the evenings nowadays, I've put a curfew after a certain time. I don't turn my computer on.
Yeah.
Because just things like this, because otherwise it's just this constant attachment.
What is, you know, and I'm like in touch with a lot of people back in Australia. So, like, you know, I'll be on, excuse me, on Viber or WhatsApp or something like that, trying to stay in touch with people. You know what I mean? I can't do that. I've been cut off. Start writing. What do I do?
Writing letters. Wait 6 months for it to arrive in Melbourne.
Yeah,
the letter that you might own.
It's been getting pear shaped in my house. Like, you know, I've been pulling out lots of old books, and just trying to, you know, cruise around. I thought about maybe should I send a fax? I could always send a fax. There's still a phone line there. I don't
do
really
kids
use
know
it.
What faxes are?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
But what I did do, Sarah Love, was I thought, well, look. If this is what it's resorted to, because 4 days is a long time to go without internet.
In 2015.
It's a really, really long time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like one step away from like moving out and loitering around other people's houses and stuff like that. So what I thought I would do anyway.
Or living in Starbucks. Yeah.
I thought I'd write a diary entry.
Oh, lovely.
It's
That's
been a little
charming.
While. It's been a little while since I've written a diary entry. Do you want to hear my diary entry?
I would love to.
Okay, here we go. Dear diary, it's been a while. Since I was a little girl, in fact. Sorry about that. I guess when you grow up, things just get a bit serious and it's hard to find time for silly little things like a diary. Oh, diary. So many secrets and feelings that no one will ever know. Like how I stunk out the toilet yesterday and blamed it on the person in there before me when everyone in the lounge room complained. Sorry about that, Nan. You really took that one on the chin like a champ. Because you believed me. I'm really sorry. Anyway, the internet's down. It's day four. I wasn't sure what to do to pass the time. So I thought I'd give you another go, diary. By the way, this isn't the Inception bit because it's like a diary entry within a diary entry.
Okay.
So this is like Inception.
Wow, you had a lot of time.
Yeah, a lot of time. I got a lot of time in my hands right now. Okay, here we go. This is the diary entry. Dear diary, this is shit. I wish the internet would hurry up because this is really shit. The end.
You're like, enough of that.
So that's what I've been doing with my time, basically.
I'm picturing you at home, like, you know the film Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro? You seen that? That's what I'm picturing you at home, like, just slowly going over the edge, like, I can't take it anymore.
It's really getting there. It is seriously, seriously getting there. I'm getting to the point now where I'm starting to go like, oh, have you got, who's got Wi-Fi? Who's got Wi-Fi? You got Wi-Fi?
Just give me a hit, man. Just give me a hit.
Come on, man. It's one little download, man. Just need one little swim. Oh, my fingers. Got these cheeseburgers, man. I got these cheeseburgers.
Now, you know what? I think it's quite normal, actually, these days. A lot of people are addicted to, like, social media. They're addicted to the internet. And I think it's not healthy.
People are addicted to money, Sarah. So when you bribe someone, you can get people to do some terrible things. Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking bribes up next, right after Curtis Mayfield, Superfly. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away. He'll be back. He's in South America. That's actually the truth. I've been making up things all show about where he is and where he's what he's doing. But he actually got a really good, because we know that Doc Brown is an actor as well as a comedian and a rapper.
Super talented,
he's an
creative
actor. He's got a job in South America playing the part of a kidney bean. So he's dressed up in a kidney bean. No, he's not. I'm just going to stop right there. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble.
He's going to hate you.
He's going to hate me.
He's going to hate you. But, we're still here, though. We're still here for you guys. And it's interesting. This week, there was a lot of talk about shady business. These bloody shady politicians have been busted again. Jack Straw and Sir Malcolm Rifkind were busted taking bribes. They were basically set up by a journalist who exposed them, saying that they were prepared to take money on the side, on the down low, to open dialogue and open doors for business and all this stuff, which obviously is completely illegal. But it doesn't even surprise me, actually, to be honest. I think all these politicians are up to it. It just so happens these guys got busted, and they're so smooth talk the way they talk about it as well. It's just like, yeah, I'm sure, like, that's what we do. But you know, I guess this is something that just occurs in everyday life. You haven't got to be a politician to be touched by the bribery stick.
It's not always illegal business trades as well, is it?
Like, yeah, bribes. Exactly. Yes.
Sneaky bribe.
I mean, not. I by no means do I defend or support, like, Jack Straw or Rifkin dude's reasoning behind it. Because there's some people saying, oh, but they're not getting paid enough. So, you know, they've got to do what they've got to do to make ends meet, because being millionaires is a tough life. But yeah, so there are, but there are times when I think it is reasonable to kind of bribe people. Like, I do have to admit, being an auntie of eight, there are times when, you know, you might bribe the kids. Mm. You know, it's like, well, if you do, recently, actually, I did bribe my niece. I said to her, if you get these grades in your SATs exams, I'm going to take you out for high tea.
Ooh.
Is that a bribe?
Yeah, I reckon that's a bribe. I mean, it could be an incentive, but really, what's the difference? Yeah, an incentive. I guess a bribe would kind of initially, first thing that comes to mind is that it's an illegal trade between two people that shouldn't be happening. But why? Maybe a bribe is just getting someone to do what you want by paying for something.
Yeah, this or is just giving how some we get kind of by. Trade. Have you taken a bribe?
Oh, I reckon I would have taken lots of bribes. And I think this has probably been a part of my life for a long time. I think the earliest time even that I bribed someone was when I was in primary school.
Okay.
And I was trying to get this kid, David, to weed. There was had like this, like an umbrella stand, like a pot.
Beautiful.
Umbrella pot. Everyone puts in their umbrellas and stuff. And I was trying to get him to wee in it. I thought it'd be really funny. Really, really funny. And he's like, no, I'm going to get in heaps of trouble. And I was like, dude, look, I'll show you what I got for lunch. I had, like, you know, some real nice chocolates and stuff like that. And he's like, nah. And I knew he had a shit lunch. And I knew I just had to keep going, just one little bit. I was like, well, you can have that one and you can have that one. All you got to do is wee in the pot, dude. Just go and wee in the pot. It's going to be real funny. He weed in the pot. He weed in the pot.
He did it.
Yeah.
He got him to break.
And he got in lots of trouble as well.
Which you enjoyed. That's why you did it, really.
Yeah.
You wanted just to see him get busted.
I can bribe, so, you know, it depends. I mean, you know, like our mutual friend, DJ Flagrant, that we talk about a lot because he's just a pain in the ass and we love him for it. But over in Melbourne, my best friend over there, I don't know why I just pointed, by the way.
It was just like...
It's a very tough visual.
visual in the ether, you were just suggesting his energy.
Not a very good imagery radio, but I pointed for some reason to the left when we were talking about Australia.
Gesturing,
But he bribes me all the time. Like he's quite good. Well, he's a real, he calls himself DJ Flagrant, the businessman. You know, like he's a businessman. He thinks everything's business. And be like, Hugh, go down the shops. And I'd be like, no fucking way. Yeah. Dripping balls, dude. I'm with Jimmy Jazz. You know what I mean? He's like, I'll buy the wine. I'll be like, see ya.
I'm done.
Yeah, you can bribe me to do all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
But then you see the other week, you revealed that he's actually accepted bribes where, well, I don't know if that's necessarily a bribe, where he was saying $20 for the pay for plays.
Yeah.
So if someone gave him some money, he'd play the tunes in the club for them.
I mean, is it unethical? I mean, in a situation like that, where you're just trying to get someone to do something that they don't really want to do, but then they give in because you're offering them money or some reward.
I wonder.
Is that unethical?
But what do you guys think? I want to know what you lot think. Okay, of course, on one end of the spectrum, we've got these shady politicians doing it their style. On the other end of the spectrum, we've got parents bribing their kids with sweets and chocolate, or mates bribing their friends with alcohol, possibly. But what have you ever bribed someone with, or have you ever been bribed? Or is it okay to bribe?
And without like trying to really, really pinpoint a topic here, because I don't want to get too specific, but has someone ever paid you to wee in an umbrella pot? That would be a great call.
Yeah.
That would be a great call right now, unless it's David calling me from primary school, still scarred.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
He's been following you all these years. He's up in the middle of the night. Australia's like, now's my time to strike. Yeah, no, but we want to hear from you guys. Also, I'd be curious to know if that's just an isolated case or if other people have had that kind of thought with the umbrella pot.
I reckon that happened a lot.
I think it's quite common. But yeah, bribing people. Have you ever bribed someone? Hit us up on Twitter at FUBAR Radio and send us an email to throughtotuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. We want to hear from you guys. Yeah. Bribery.
Or maybe you've been bribed. It could have been at work. Maybe your boss bribed you. Maybe
blatantly,
you bribed your boss.
Yes.
Oh, that would be a good one. Maybe we could bribe someone here. There's all sorts of possibilities. Here to start with, we'd love you to get in touch with your stories, and we'll take those stories right off the Big L. Put it on. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away this week in South America, having fun on the beach, getting leg raped apparently by people trying to massage his legs.
Yeah.
Which is quite uncomfortable.
He's loving it, really. But yeah, we've been talking about bribes. Yeah. The other thing that I was thinking in the bribe dimension is sort of like selling out. Like, because that's almost like accepting bribery, isn't it? It's like if you're prepared to just sell out all your values and your people for cash. I think that happens a lot in the media industry, doesn't it? Like, people are just like, we'll do anything to be famous.
Well, definitely. Yeah, I think definitely. And I think a bribe, I mean, maybe it is quite a broad term. I don't know. I'd like to think that it is. I could just be any way where you just accept money to do what you don't really want to do.
Yeah.
But you just accept money for it anyway.
See, for me personally, as a musician, like, I on an artistic level, like, that's a big no-no. Like, back in the day, in the Big L, that was some Big L we just heard there. Mm. In that golden era of hip-hop, I mean, if you did that, your name was trash. Like, you had no respect. You've lost all of your stripes kind of thing. But nowadays, you never even hear that word selling out, do you?
No.
I don't even think it exists. Another in my day.
Yeah.
Another thing, I don't think kids even know what selling out means, because I think selling out now has become getting paid, and that's just all good, isn't it? As long as, like, you're getting paid, you can do whatever you want. But for me personally, I don't think that's cool. What I think is cool is, like, standing by some values.
Staying true. Well, I mean, it's tough, and you know, because if you get yourself into a situation where you could potentially go down in flames. Like, I had a friend that used to run a shop, used to manage a shop, and his boss was like, bit of a dodgy boss.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he found out that his boss had been coming in at the end of the day and just taking a little pinch out of the takings after the guy had cashed up and done everything, da, da, da.
Liberty.
I think it was something like he'd closed the shop and then He's like, oh shit, forgot something. Got halfway home, forgot something. Came back, the boss was in there going through the money.
He
was like, whoa, what are you doing? And the guy was like, oh no, this is totally legit. Like, this is cool. This is all like legit with my accountant. Don't sweat it. It's not bad. Like, look, I can kick you $50. Like, it's a little bonus each week. He's like, just don't tell the other staff because I don't want it's like it's not illegal, but it's a little bit frowned upon. So just don't say anything. My friends would be like, it's a bit sketchy. $50 $50 is $50. So I guess that's kind of bribing.
Yeah.
That's bribing to not say anything. Just keep it
that's
shut.
That's pretty deep bribing, man. But yeah, I guess it depends in which domain. Because, if you just, you don't actually care about this company and it's a company who just does disgusting things and they're taking advantage of people, you're not going to care that much, are you?
And I think it was also, because it was like in the old skateboarding, like I said, was into skateboarding. I'm still into skateboarding now, but like very, very heavily for a long, long time. And a lot of people that would run the shops would do some pretty shady shit. Like a different mate of mine who used to manage a shop as well. Like he used to bribe people with products from the store. People would come in and it'd be like, oh, da 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 da. Yeah, cool. Well, if you're gonna, if you can help me out with driving me somewhere, or you can do this, or you can film this for me,
just take a discount.
Take a couple of t-shirts off the rack. Yeah. Go for it. That's kind of stealing. That's kind of bribing.
Oh, no, that's like barter.
Is that barter?
No, that's barter.
With someone else's stuff.
He was stealing
stuff off the shelf and getting. And oh, no, it wasn't a friend of mine, just someone I knew.
I know.
I swear.
It's like,
shit!
Not really representing your friends very well. It's like you're just tarnishing their reputations left,
not
right,
really cool,
and center. But yeah, bribery. Yeah. Like, when have you bribed someone? Like, we want to hear about, as we can hear, the kind of circles that Hugh moves in. That's just standard procedure, isn't it? But it in the artistic world, I think it's a no-no. Like, if you're a true artist, you can't be bought. Because it's all about the art, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, that's all in the righteous artistic world. But if you're in the corporate world or politics, I guess that's just everyday run-ins, isn't it?
Juicy story, friends. Juicy story.
But is it all good? Hit us up, FUBAR Radio, on Twitter. We would love to hear from you guys.
Or you can give us a call too, 0330-223-0200. And we'll take your stories right after Common. FUBAR, Sarah Hugh, Doc 2. Hey, Incredible story.
Tell us about it.
About to say something. What are you going to say?
Talk to me. I was just curious to hear what this incredible story. Yeah, sounds pretty kind of terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Give me the details.
It is terrifying. I was just reading this story in the Metro today. Now, basically what happened is a British teenager, he's made this incredible escape. He basically fell over 1,600 feet in the Alps whilst, of all things, taking a bloody selfie. Now, a kid was only 14. Can you imagine falling that far? He's so lucky to be alive. It's incredible.
That couldn't have just been free falling. That must have been like tumbling down Mont Blanc or something.
Well, I mean, apparently he was with the part of a group of people that were skiing to the top. And basically, when they were at the summit, they decided to take selfies to basically, capture the view, et cetera, et cetera. And he was like, trying to get the right angle, da 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 da. Fell back, he slipped, plummeted down like an icy shelf, and then landed on a ledge.
Oh,
landed on
God.
A ledge, and nearly 1,600 feet down after sliding down the side of this mountain, and he was okay. Like, he was obviously beaten up and bruised a little bit, but like,
he lived to tell the tale.
Can you believe that?
That is crazy. But in a way, I mean, it's all part and parcel of the selfie lifestyle. You've got to be prepared. If that's what you're about, then that's all part of it, isn't it?
Well, look, okay. First and foremost, at FUBAR Radio, you can tweet us or you can email tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. Have you hurt yourself because of your phone, like by being on your phone? Because this happens a lot. You see it all the time. Like, people just walk down the street just looking at their phones, not even looking where they're going. I nearly got hit by a bus yesterday because of this exactly thing. I was checking a text message, da 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 da. I was like, oh my God, I nearly walked out on the road. That was really, really dumb. And then everyone looks at you like, dickhead, get off your phone. dickhead.
It's like no, it's like your life flashed before your eyes, and it's like no sympathy.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's just like the phones are. It's just such a big distraction now.
I know.
It's terrible.
But I was imagining how many people must turn up in A&E when obviously like they say, okay, what's happened to you? What's going on? And then it's like, well, I was texting on my phone, right? That's the first line, and then something terrible has happened. They leave with one less leg or something. But there must be like so many accidents happening nowadays, like relating to a phone. Even just things like where you just straight barging people in the street because you're not looking where you're walking, or people are just like head in the clouds and just knocking an old lady over or something on their phone. This is the first world problems.
I saw a good one on the tube the other day, actually. This guy, probably like in the early mid-30s or something like that. Well-dressed. Looked like a nice chap, whatever, and he's on his phone and just, obviously he wasn't too savvy. He was obviously wasn't too savvy on the tube, or he was just too distracted with what he was doing. But the tube took off. Pew! And so did he, friend. He was so engrossed in what he was doing on his phone, wasn't holding on to anything, and he just went flying down the tube. And I was like, yes. It's really funny.
That's doing, what you get.
You know, doing that weird tube dance. You know, we're doing, oh, shit, you've got to hold on to something. Otherwise, you're flying up the other end of the carriage.
I'm always doing that weird tube dance because, me, I'm like, I don't want to touch the bar in the holding, handlebars and all that in the tube. So I'm always like, okay, exactly. I don't want to get involved.
I don't want to get a bowler.
So I'm always like, right, I've got the stance on lock. I know exactly how to do it. Yeah, but for when it's like super busy and you're just there in limbo, you can be thrown all over the place. But still, I don't care. I'm not touching the handle.
As I said, if you have hurt yourself because of your phone, you can get in touch. You can email us, tuesdaydrive@foobarradio.com, or tweet us at foobarradio. Here is another suburb that I do not know how to pronounce. Do you want to help me with this one? Sarah, love? Plestow? 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 It's Monica and Plestow.
Plasto.
Plasto? You know what? How am I supposed to know?
To be fair, there Plasto? Are a lot of Aussie names where English people must just get like terribly.
Oh, like what? Wagga Wagga?
But the best one is when people are like Leicester Square.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's a weird name, Leicester Square.
No, it's a messed up language, English, basically.
So hang on, what have we got here? Monica and Plastow. How do we say this again?
Plastow. No, Plastow.
Oh my, that sounds much nicer. Plastow. I really like
it. So yes, it's tonal. It's tonal.
So and Monica, it's also my mother's name. So Monica and Plastow.
So
apparently, Monica was lying in bed, had her phone. I'm just going to assume it's a woman. I haven't heard of too many men called Monica. Lying in bed with a phone on the dressing table in the middle of the night, turned over and accidentally knocked over my phone and my glass of water onto myself. My phone hit me in the face, so I've got a sore, wet face, and my bloody phone doesn't work now. I'm angry with myself.
I'm feeling the angry energy resonating out of that email, man.
Yeah.
She's like, I just needed to vent to someone about that, man. So I'm still pissed. How long ago did she say that happened last night? Was that like a month ago? She's like, still that angry about it. No.
It's good therapy. This show is good therapy,
yes,
isn't it?
We want to help you guys.
We got another one. Susan in Esher. Isha, Isha.
Let me
we can do a whole show on just me being a complete dickhead and not knowing how to pronounce anything.
Okay, to be fair, I think it is Isha.
Isha.
Natalie is actually the clever person around.
Are you sure it's not Plastow? Isha.
Isha.
All right, Susan in somewhere. That's possibly Isha or Isha. I was checking my phone when I was walking down the road and didn't notice the lamppost in front of me until it was too late.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Away. Didn't get too hurt, but my pride did when a group of lads in front of me saw and started laughing at me. That's cold as ice.
No, that's brilliant. Like, you've got to be. You should. Oh, sorry, what's your name again?
Suzanne and Isha, I've just been told from God in my
Suzanne
earphones.
Suzanne and Isha. Right. No, but you have to be happy that happened because that brought a lot of joy to people's lives. Because if you were like sitting somewhere and you saw that happen, you wouldn't be able to help yourself but be like, oh God, that was brilliant.
I know.
I mean, as long as they're not seriously hurt. Obviously, if the person's seriously hurt, there's no time for laughing, is there?
The thing is, everyone gets distracted by their phones as well. So even if you see someone walk into a lamppost and you're like, get off your phone, idiot. you know, at some point, sooner or later, you are going to be
karma.
That person.
The karma.
Bang, walking into a bus stop. Bang, walking into something like that. You know what I mean?
No, see, in that situation, I'd always offer help. You know, I would chuckle, but then I would be like, are you okay?
Yeah.
I'm not laughing at you, like, in a completely cold-blooded way, but you've got to admit that it's kind of funny.
Well, especially if you've got, like, a group of lads and you've got, you know, a poor woman just walked into a lamppost.
Come on, that's straight off you being framed. Like, that's you being framed content right there, man. Mm. She can make some money off of footage like that.
I like these stories. You want to keep them going?
I want to hear
keep
more.
Email
people
us.
Hurting themselves.
TuesdayDriverFubarRadio.com or tweet us at FubarRadio. And or you can give us a call either now. 030-3022302 And when have you hurt yourself because of you being on your phone, being distracted? You're on Fubar. Here's Beat Nuts. You're with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
It's the Beat Nuts.
You're on Fubar. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown away.
Cool, chilling in the sun.
Arm wrestling competitions. Tours around the world. A lot of it. No, it doesn't. Shut up, Hugh. Shut up, Hugh.
Well, we were talking to Doc earlier on FaceTime, and he. So we got to hear his voice. Yeah. So he felt a bit closer, but it did look like he was about to hurt himself because I think he was walking around trying to find reception wherever he was in the tropics. But yeah, you could easily just like accidentally trip downstairs, break your neck or something.
Absolutely.
You know? So ways that you've actually hurt yourself on your phone. I don't know if I've actually had an accident because of the phone, but I've definitely hurt myself in terms of pocket dialing people and not realizing that they're just sat there listening to your whole conversation.
Yeah.
Or there was one time when I was in New Zealand and I pocket dialed Sweden.
Oh, shit.
And so, yeah, that call hurt me. That hurt my pocket.
Well, the reason we're talking about this is because an amazing story of a 14-year-old British kid. He was skiing in the Alps with a group of people. They were skiing up a mountain, which is unusual. Sure. Dyslexic, whatever. That's fun. Anyway, so they got to the summit and they were all taking selfies of the view. And he was trying to get the perfect angle. He tripped, fell down the side of the mountain, plunged nearly like 1,600 feet and landed on like an ice shelf. And amazingly, he's okay. He's battered and bruised a little bit, but no serious injuries. He's okay.
This
it's
does actually sound like the beginnings, of the opening scene of an action film survival movie of some kind, doesn't it?
It really does. So we're talking about when have you hurt yourself because of your phone, because people do this a lot. Like we're hearing from people before who have walked into lampposts. Also, I nearly got hit by a bus yesterday. All sorts of terrible stuff.
Be careful, Hugh, and people out there. I think if you're like, you know, something important, like you're making a call, sending a text, things like that, like, okay, that's good. But the selfie thing, come on, you're asking, like, I'm not saying you deserve it. Selfie's all good. If selfie is your lifestyle, that's fantastic. Yeah. But studies have shown it's not healthy. So I think this is adding to the figures that it's probably, you know, we need to get away from this selfie culture.
Oh, so not just physically, but you might be hurting yourself psychologically as well. You are really hurting yourself.
No, but for real, you are. But yes, no, so we're interested. Have you hurt yourself as a result of your phone?
And we had Alex, he emailed us in TuesdayDrive@FubarRadio.com. Alex from, here we go, another suburb for me to
play. Oh my God, this is brilliant. Now I just want people to be hitting up the show far and wide from places that Hugh is going to struggle to
read. I'm new here. I've only been in London for like 4 or 5 months and I'm still learning all these suburbs.
Allowing you into the country? They're like, right, read this town correctly.
So this is Alex in Pimlico?
Oh, yeah.
Pimlico? Did I get that one right?
You did.
Oh, damn. Oh, that game's crap now. I don't want to play that game anymore. There we go.
Don't worry. There's loads of other names I could pull up for you.
So Alex hurt himself on his phone. I use my phone pretty much all day, mainly type with my right hand. It now aches a lot, and my doctor says I need to rest it up for a bit and stop typing. Unfortunately, not that many people believe me when I tell them that's how I've strained my right hand.
I was going to say, this is a very elaborate story, I'm thinking.
Why do I feel like Alex has just used this as a loophole to tell everyone he masturbates on air?
He's like, honest, guys.
Thanks.
Like, everybody tune into Fubar Radio at this time. It's important you hear this. It's official. I'm broadcasting this.
It's like this has
This guy
in Australia, this is quite a funny story that went around ages. This was about a year ago, and he there was something happened. There might have been like a big car accident or something in his town, and he was a witness. So you know when the news cameras all turn up and they're like, "What's your name? Where are you from? Da da da. Get your story." So his name was Jack Mehoff. Jack Mehoff. Right,
oh
Mehoff
God.
Being Mehoff, right, and that was his name, and they bloody put it up on the TV.
But that was his actual. That is
no,
actually.
He was just trying to say Jack Mehoff, just Jack Mehoff on TV, and they fucking they did it.
See,
couldn't
he should get an award
it.
For that. That's brilliant.
I reckon Alex knows Jack Mehoff.
But I fell for it. I was like, seriously, was that his name, Jack Mehoff?
Here we go. Tom from Woking. I know Woking. There we go. Thank
hey,
you very much.
You're learning.
Okay, so Tom came. He's tweeted us. No, emailed us. Sorry, TuesdayDrive@foobarradio.com. I came home late one night and was a little bit tipsy. Fair enough.
I like how all these stories start with like the excuses. Well, you know, I use my phone a lot. I was a little bit tipsy. Okay.
I love it. Tom's going.
You got
to
understand. Tom's I was
like,
tipsy.
A little bit tipsy. Okay, I was really drunk. Yeah, what is it? Dropped my phone down the toilet after I'd been for a number one. Okay, it's pretty bad. I thought it'd be a great idea to try and get it out of the toilet and slipped and hit my chin on the seat. Oh, no. I was embarrassed myself, but even more embarrassingly, my flatmate popped into the toilet to see if I was okay as I was very drunk and happened to be quiet for a little bit. Imagine that. Quite a lovely sight to see with my trousers down, bent over the toilet and crying with a bleeding chin. Wow.
That is lovely.
Well, that is next level.
That is next level. That's like he risked his life. His life was in danger. Completely
like,
humiliated.
Like, whoa.
In front of his peers. Phone ruined. Doesn't get much better than that.
Sarah Love, very excited. We are going to get you, you're going to be doing a live mix in the studio very,
yes,
very soon.
As we do every week. I'd like to present you with some cool tunes, you know, to flavour your drive time part of the day.
Oh, amazing. All right, I'm going to get that up right after Black Rob. Like, whoa. Because that last story, Tom from Woking, like, whoa. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away. Sarah and Hugh with you. Sarah, it's that time of the day. That time of the show. You're going to do a live mix for us.
I know. Well, I do enjoy the show because, yeah, I'm a working DJ and it's nice for me to get a chance to showcase some of the fine tunes, new, old, UK, a little bit of everything for you. So, yeah, we're going to get busy right about now. I've got some very nice flavours for you and I want to set it off a little something like this. This is D'Angelo.
Is that working? What have I done? We got the right buttons here?
Let's see how we go again.
This happens every time. Don't worry. This is my fault. My fault. Got the right thing happening? We've got someone in here now, producer, technical person. Same. Happens each week. Huh?
Yeah, okay. We're in business.
This is Sarah Love live in the studio.
Sarah Love. Loving what you're
doing, friend.
You are?
Loving what you...
You are, mate! I'm going to have you talking like Londoner in no time.
Absolutely.
Yes, tune in next week. We'd love to hear from you guys. Make sure you hit us up in between the show, TuesdayDrive@foobarradio.com. We love hearing from you lot, and we will be back taking care of you with good tunage. And, yeah, we're going to have a bit of a battle on place names.
Are you ready?
Are you ready for the SmackDown?
They're giving me shit because I don't know how to pronounce that. Producer Nat and Sarah have been giving me shit because I don't know how to pronounce any suburb names.
Leicester.
All right. See you guys. We'll catch you next week. Bye.